I sit by the phone, but I haven't heard.
Both sides, stomach size and diameter.
And you know the money's for managers.
I know money's for managers.
I sit by the phone, but I haven't heard. Two spots and 10,000 challengers. I know the money's for managers. But goddammit, art is for amateurs.
Yeah. Happy, happy new year. Welcome to Jam Mechanics. My name is Matt Johnson. I am from the band that you might know called The Narcissist Cookbook. With me in Jam Mechanics Mansion today is...
I'm Bug Hunter, and I'm not as excited about the new year as Matt is because, and this is true, it's November still when we're recording this. So I can't muster that same enthusiasm.
It's always going to be new year somewhere.
I don't think that is true, but today, when you're listening to this, it is New Year's Day, unless you didn't listen on the first day, which in that case, shame on you. You should be listening on the first day.
Bug, have you run into this thing where the song, you will write a song that you think people are going to go bug nuts crazy for?
Bug nuts. Good turn of phrase.
You think people are going to go bug nuts crazy for you? You're like, I know my audience. I know my strengths. This is it. And then you play it and people are like, woo. Yeah. Good. That was pretty good. That was a pretty good song. And the opposite of that being you write a song that you're like, I don't know. And people go, this is the greatest song you've ever written, sir.
I have both of these.
Yeah.
The first one, I wrote a little song that is on Happiness Without a Catch. It's called Not Like That. And when I wrote it, I was like, this is a fantastic song.
It is a fantastic song.
Everyone's going to love it. First person I sent it to was my old roommate in college. His name was Austin. And he responded pretty quickly saying, this sounds like someone trying and failing to write a Bug Hunter song. It's probably the first thing you've ever sent me that I disliked.
Austin.
And I was, Austin. Oh. So I was very upset by that. And I did rework the song a little bit to smooth over some of the punchlines and give it a little better pacing. But it's not like so terribly different from that version. And every time someone comments that they love that song, I screenshot it and send it to them. The opposite of that was a bedtime story. Same album.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is silly. Four people are going to really like this a lot, and mostly everybody else is going to be pretty whatever about it.
I firmly remember.
Yeah, you were one of the people that convinced me to
and your dad and you in the car, and me and your dad just being like, Bug, you are sleeping on this song. This song is something special.
As soon as the album came out, everyone's favorite song, I commissioned Deep Blue Ink to make a video. It's as we speak, like going as viral as I can get on TikTok, in the hundreds of thousands of views for that animation. So what do I know? I know nothing about what people like, but was that your icebreaker?
No, but it is now.
Okay, yeah. I feel like I talked too long about that to not have that be the icebreaker.
The other thing I was going to say is that sometimes, like, are you familiar with the concept of this is a songwriter's song? Like, you will write a song and you're like, most people don't like this, but songwriters go freaky over this song.
they go bug nuts freaky for it. I'm going to keep repeating that to make sure that I don't go back and edit it out of the podcast the first time you said it.
Bug nuts. Yeah, that's always a really interesting one for me, and something that I worry about a lot is, you know, is this song that I love? Do I love it because I'm a songwriter?
What's your songwriter song that you feel like you appreciate as a song, and people haven't latched onto the way you wanted them to?
I wrote Apple, and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever written. And I sent it to a friend of mine who is a super, super, super fan called Alan Whitfield, who's probably listening to this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan's response was, I don't like this. This is maybe the first thing you've ever sent me that I think is kind of rubbish. And I went,
Alan and Austin.
Yeah. And it really threw me because Alan had always been like unconditionally supportive. And I was like, whoa, you must really hate this song. But I believed in it. And I, you know what? Yeah. I put it away for a year. I came back to it. I made a few changes, not very many changes. But, you know, okay, let's see it. Let's see. A dumb song that I didn't think people were going to like, My Ass is a Dump Truck.
Oh, you knew everyone was going to like that.
No.
Come on.
I knew it from the second I sent it to my friend Kayla, who the song was about. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'm onto something here. But when I was writing it, I was like, this is fucking stupid. I did not think it would be in my, like in the ripcord inventory for my set lists. Like, oh, my set isn't going very well. I need to bring these people back on board. My ass is a dump truck. Do you want to do some challenges? You
want to write a song? Let me think about who went first. I think you went first twice in a row, so I'll get challenged twice in a row first. So it's you to me now.
Right. For starters, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
It's 2024. Year of our Lord 2024. So many things are going to happen. We're going to... King's probably going to die.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Exactly. I think we're going to lose Bill Murray. I think 2024 is the year of losing Bill Murray.
Matt, you can't do this. You can't make our podcast a cursed podcast.
Ooh, no, I'm just very excited in case I'm right. Anyway, but it's going to be a great...
excited about being right.
For everyone else, it's going to be a great year. Full of memories. Bug, I want you to write a song about your earliest memory. It's going back, like, the earliest thing you can remember.
Okay. Yeah, I have something. I have something about that.
Yeah, really, really something. There was no butts.
No butts? What if my first memory was a butt? Yeah, my first memory, and I actually know what my first memory is. When I was about 2 years old, we had two dogs named Honey and Sweetie. And I was tasked that day with... filling up their food bowls. So I take a cup full of like the kibble stuff, you know, the dry kibble stuff, and I took it out to like the like shed in our backyard that kept their food bowls in it. And I walked into this shed, and a bird was in the shed. And as soon as I walked in, it just exploded out of the shed, just, you know, flew off, right? Scared the probably literal shit out of me, since I was very young, and you know, I don't even know if I was potty trained at this point.
Can I pause you for a moment?
Please do.
This is enjoyable for me because immediately I was just like, oh, for God's sake, you're going to write a song about your fucking childhood dogs. Like, you're gonna wreck these people. And I was like, in my head, it's just like, surely your first memory is about shit or something. And then you said you shat yourself. So I'm out.
I know. I'm not saying that I did. I'm saying canonical, I don't remember that part. Canonical. Yes. First thing I ever remember. And that was my first memory. So my first memory on this earth was being scared by a bird. Very badly. So good intro. All right. My challenge to you. So I don't have something big and flashy for you today. We're kind of back to just a one word challenge.
Okay.
And I'm just going to let you kind of to play with it. I'm going to slap this Play-Doh down on the table for you and just let you do your thing. I'm just giving you the word calendar.
Calendar.
Just calendar.
Cool.
Whatever you want to make of that.
Okay. Yeah, I guess my first thought is, I guess I'm thinking critically. You know, is this the sixth episode?
This is the sixth episode.
Yeah. So we've already done five episodes, and I wanna.
I like that quick math, Matt.
Yeah, I got a 12 over 9 APB.
What the hell are you talking about?
Fucking Americans talk about where they're just like, oh, I got an 8.
You're talking about an SAT score?
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, you got a 12.00 out of 9.
I got an APB. I got an APB put out on me.
For such a high score, the police had to come arrest you for your high SAT score. 12.00 out of 9.
So, on that note, we're going to go away for 3 hours. You, the listener, do not need to go away for 3 hours, because through the magic of radio, we are going to edit all of this down into a tight 35 to 40 minute podcast just for you.
But if you want the real experience, do pause right now. Go be stressed for 3 hours and then come back and hit play, and then you will know what we went through.
Yeah, you want to, maybe you could pick whatever one of these prompts you most resonate with, and give yourself 3 hours, and come back and see what you came up with. Maybe post it in the Discord.
Write a song about a calendar, or write a song about Bug shitting his pants when he was 2 years old. And we are back. Happy New Year. Happy new songs. We're back.
Yeah. Happy New Year. How has your year been so far?
So far? Yeah, that's a great question,
I'm not talking to
Matt.
You. I'm not talking to you.
Oh. How stupid of me to assume you're talking to the only person in the Zoom call.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we want to dive into this? Do we have anything to say before we do?
Yeah. Well, it's you first. I have. Yeah. Pitch this to me. Pitch me your song.
Sell me this song.
Yeah. Here's this is your elevator pitch for your 2 minute pop song.
Great. It is 2 minutes. It's about 2 minutes, maybe 18 seconds, something like that. Yeah. So. I messed with comedy song ideas, shifting perspectives. I for a while there, I thought about writing Braggin' 2, because Braggin' is famously very bird-centric. The story involves a bird, and I thought, maybe I'll write Braggin' 2 and just introduce it in the podcast. Didn't go with that idea. Sorry, Braggin' fans. I went with something else. Went with something a little more original. Titled Memories? I don't know. If you want to hit go, you feel free to give me that old 3, 2, 1.
Okay, I'm going to hit play in 3, 2, 1. Hit me.
There were roses in the garden. My toys were on the lawn. My brother rode a bicycle, watched closely by my mom. I toddled off the patio, I often wandered off, and quickly get corralled by my sweetheart of a dog. These are the details, these are the memories, these are the moments always cut from documentaries.
Oh,
these
nice.
Are the details, these are the memories that never stick. I was just a baby in the backyard, learning one thing at a time. The shapes and colors turning into objects from my eyes. It was an early autumn evening, the first I could recall. I crunched the leaves beneath my feet. My dad records it all. These are the details, these are the memories, these are the moments always cut from documentaries. These are the details, these are the memories that never stick. Called me in for dinner, but before I headed in, they handed me a cup of kibble filled up to the brim. I toddled to the doghouse, that's when God, she hit record. My first memory is getting all my shit rocked by a bird. Can't choose the details, can't choose the memories, can't choose the scars they leave so sudden, unexpectedly. Can't choose the details, can't choose the memories. I wish we weren't so primed to focus on upsetting things. Can't choose the details, can't choose the memories that seem to nest inside your head. Those awful details that form the memories. But if I could instead, I'd choose the details, the little memories. I choose the details, the little memories, and make them stick.
That was incredibly sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the big laughs you got out of me. You got a big laugh out of me with Shit Rock by a Bird. Great line.
Yeah. Thank you.
But you got a songwriter laugh out of me with these are the details, these are the memories, these are the moments always cut from documentaries. That made me laugh both times. Yep. Not because it's funny, but because fuck you. Like that's
what I was hoping for. I think for me the strongest bit was that line felt great. I had no direction. I was flapping in the wind on the song until I found that line, and then I was like, okay, I understand what this song is, I think. And I was very pleased to see your reaction.
Yeah, that is a line, like you don't need it in this one, but every now and again, one will write a song that has a line in it that's so good, it sort of carries the entire song. And that line is satisfying enough to carry a 2-minute, 20-second song. Yeah, that's really cute. When that piano came in as well, when that piano came in, I was like, oh, that is 100% right. You know, I wasn't expecting that. I think I was expecting it to be a solo. Was that ukulele?
Yeah.
Yeah, a solo ukulele number. So your production on this was really cool. What a great hook. What a working up to a really gentle, funny joke, which unfortunately I don't think makes sense outside of context. But you know what? If you ever play this live, you play the song live, you can tell that story in advance and be like, here's what, you know, and make the story part of the song, which is sort of my whole shtick.
You know, I'm on the fence about that. I'm on the fence about whether or not this one needs context. I think it benefits from it, certainly. I'm torn because I as I was kind of going through this song, I was like, I am going on too long. I just want to kind of get to the punchline, I guess. Kind of the core of the song is, you know, I toddled to the doghouse. That's when God, she hit record. My first memory is getting all my shit rocked by a bird. You know, I wanted to get there a little bit quicker. I probably could have used another verse if I had been able to write something interesting before that to kind of just give a little bit more. I don't know if it translates. I would actually love to play this song for somebody who hadn't heard my preamble and just to see if it lands at all. I'm unconvinced. Yeah,
easily that is done, because by the time the world is listening to this song, one of the listeners can take that song and be like, hey, buddy, listen to this song and let us know.
Good. Yeah.
I have not even criticisms, just something I wanted from the song is I wanted that documentary line in there one more time at the end. Yeah, I really felt like you were working up to it to kind of and I felt a little bit can't think of a better term than blue balls. I felt a little bit blue balled by not hearing documentary one more time.
blue bug nutted.
Oh no. Stop trying to make that the title of the podcast. It's not gonna happen.
I've never tried so hard before in my life. I hear you, Matt. And I ignore you. I think I was done with that rhyme. I think I was done with it. I almost didn't have it twice. I felt like, you know, because I'm always of the opinion that if you have a really good line, don't repeat it.
That's so right. Okay. No, this is a really interesting topic of conversation, because that's insane. Like, I see where you're coming from, but also you're basically saying, you know, 100 years of pop music, hundreds of years of folk music. Nah, they got it wrong.
Look, I think they did. I just think they did. There's something about someone coming up with a very, very good line. Like, can you imagine if I started the second verse of Disco in the Panic Room with the same, I've got skills, they don't know where to use me, I'm like the best dressed dude at the nude beach. Like, that line doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't go again. You get it once.
You get it once. And that is true a lot of the time, but you're talking about a chorus. You're talking about one line in a chorus. Like,
I know, and
it is a strength in a lot of your songs that you take the chorus and you rework it, so you're saying something different. That is a strength a lot of the time. There is a band that shall remain nameless that I love that used to do that all the time. And in the last few albums, they have just found a phrase and just sing the phrase over and over again for the chorus. And it makes me real sad and it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can get away with it. And it's rules are made to be broken and all that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I like to mix things up. I think if I had more time, I think the second time I say it wouldn't have made it in. So I don't know. I see your point. I do. I see your point. I felt good about where this landed. I did want to mention that when I sat down, I was like, I was going to write this really, really gentle song and then just like slam into like big drum metal, like guitar slam. It's like, bird!
At the getting shit rocked by a bird bit.
Yeah. And then I was going to have it like dubstep and like go into like those horror, like melted, just like, oh God. And
we are.
Like it was, like it was Cthulhu instead of a bird to a toddler.
Society has been denied the chance to hear you try to replicate dubstep Yeah. From that, which I'm assuming would start with Google, how do I dubstep?
I would have got to Google how to dubstep, please. It was mostly because my wife is studying for a test downstairs, and I didn't want to explain to her why I was screaming bird 1,000 times. I didn't want to explain why I was screaming bird, bird, the bird, oh no, the bird, really loud for like 20 minutes. So
yeah.
That's why, for the most part, I didn't do that. But yeah. I like this. I'm happy with this. I feel like this is one that I would probably come back to and kind of see what else I could kind of explore, maybe give it a little more context so it works a little better outside the podcast too.
It passes the most important test for me, which is I immediately want to listen to it again. You know, yeah. I want to listen to that song again. So good job. Well done.
Yeah. All right.
So just to prepare people so they can go into it, you know, I am known occasionally to talk and to write. This is a talky track. This is the first proper talky track I've done since the podcast began. It's the first one I've written in a minute. So
I'm excited.
Let's put it on.
My excitement is palpable.
You know what I also will say in advance of this?
Yeah.
There are no instruments in this. This is just all
no. it's just word mechanics.
No. There's music. There's just no instruments in it. All right. Whenever you're good to go.
Okay, I'm gonna do it in 3, 2, 1.
In 46 BC, although they didn't call it 46 BC, of course, the Roman Empire experienced what came to be known as the Year of Confusion. Up until then, people understood a year to be 12 months long, like we do, and honestly, their calendar looked a lot like ours. Months had either 29 or 31 days, except February, which, in order to keep the calendar aligned with the natural lunar year, could have anywhere between 23 or 28 days. But that flexibility alone was not enough to keep the calendar aligned with the Earth's seasons. And so every few years, to make sure things didn't get too out of whack, the Romans would have not a leap day, but an entire leap month, called Mercedonius, or Intercalaris, which generally fell at the end of February, and to be decided by a religious leader, the keeper of God's time. This wasn't why they called 46 BC the Year of Confusion. The problem with having these leap months and having them be inserted at the will of religious leaders is that they would often decide a year would be 22 days longer when a supporter or they themselves were in political office, giving them another 3 weeks of rule, or at the very least political influence. Or he would decide against including a leap month when one was desperately needed in order for the calendar to make any kind of sense when an opponent was in office, because that would get them out the door quicker. And thus, the years, time itself, was beholden to political whim and corruption. But even this is not the reason why 46 BC was called the Year of Confusion. No, the reason 46 BC was known as the Year of Confusion is because that is the year that Julius Caesar said enough is enough. No more bending the calendar to your will. From now on, the calendar will align with the lunar year naturally, without human intervention. And so the Julian calendar, effectively the calendar that we use today, was introduced. Except, not quite. Because in order for the Julian calendar to align with the start of the lunar year, 46 BC was 445 days long. One last blast of nonsense powerful enough to, they hoped, wash the old away with the new. And then from 45 BC, the years progress much as we recognize them, with the occasional leap day to make up for a minute slippage.
all this effort to align the calendar of man with the mysterious lunar mechanism, which seemed at the time to hold everything together with a level of perfection which mankind was incapable of recreating on Earth, which our attempts to capture had led only to the already powerful hoarding ever more unfathomable power. That's the strange thing about time. It's not real. Not how we experience it, anyway. Our scientific knowledge today makes even the smartest of those in ancient Rome look like children. And yet our years are still built around how fast this little ball is flung around its closest star. I guess it's difficult to remember that when a day isn't just a collection of hours anymore, but of minutes and seconds. Our lives are being broken down into ever smaller increments, so small that we have lost sight of when a day truly begins and ends. And yeah, maybe we don't gain or lose an entire month anymore due to the political machine, but there are huge swathes of the world's population who barely see sunlight for 3 months out of the year, rising as it does after they have clocked in and setting before they clock out. Is this natural? It feels natural. But I think it's difficult to truly understand a system when you are inside it. ...46 BC. The year of confusion must have felt for some like a year of realization. That the relationship between our time and God's time is not one-to-one. That there are 93 million miles between the human race and the sun. And that our moments are best measured by the turning of the leaves, by the freezes and the thaws, by the people who come into our lives too late and fall out of our lives too soon. Everything moving, always. But as a rule, as a kindness, too slow for us to notice.
Damn, Matt. You did that in 3 hours?
I did. It took me about 90 minutes. 90 minutes to write it, and then 90 minutes to record it. And I was using it as an experiment, as a little playroom, to try recording something that doesn't have any instruments in it. So it's all vocals.
Okay, I want to talk about several things. First thing, I'm annoyed. Here's the first reason I'm annoyed. I literally had to cross off one of my challenges. One of my challenges for you was going to be make a song, and you can't use your guitar.
Hey.
And so, got me. You've stolen a challenge out from underneath me. Okay. I love this, first off. Loved it. If I haven't said I loved it, it's great. Very, very engaging. I think you saw me the moment, you know, and this was a 7-minute song, so forgive me. The moment where you said something about being flung around a sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that pretty close to the line? And that.
Yeah.
I just looked at you.
I will be honest. This is probably too vulnerable, but I didn't. It is unfathomable for me to write a 6.5 minute track and then watch someone listen to it, that's a nightmare. Yeah. So yeah, what yeah. I did is I didn't have your screen open. I had your screen open for three moments.
Yeah.
The big bass drop, because I wanted to see how you'd react.
So good.
Also, I wanted to see if it would land the repeated, that's not why they called it the Year of Confusion.
Yep. So this is the next thing I want to talk about. Was fantastic. I mean, it's such good storytelling. It's such like masterful storytelling to do what you just did with that format, to introduce this term, explain something like, oh yeah, this is why it's that term. No, it's not. Actually, I'm going to talk some more and I'm going to really tell you that's what the term is about. Surely. Nope. We're going to do it again. It's just, I mean, it couldn't be more just like gripping and engaging. I have been taught a lesson from listening to this. It's so good.
So
yeah, that was brilliant. I love that was when those moments are the ones you chose to look at me, because those were definitely the moments that I was mental note of, just like, I'm bringing that up for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, like writing this was, I'd asked about the Year of Confusion in the pub quiz that I run recently, because I'd come across this line, Year of Confusion, and I was just fascinated by this one year that had 445 days in it. I think it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And reading the story behind it about how they would use, about how it was Julius Caesar's attempt to take away the power of the religious leaders to control the passage of time is awesome. But I started telling the story being like, I'm going to have to go somewhere with this that isn't just relating a historical story, because that is my style and that's what moves me. And I had no idea where I was going. And I was really worried that I was just going to have a little 4-minute documentary for you that didn't have, which wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I think even just relating, you know, the bit about kind of not realizing, kind of the systems that you're a part of, you know, and how they work and why they work and where they're from and why we do things. I think that is just on its own just causes a moment of reflection, whether or not you lead the audience to an answer.
Yeah.
I think is irrelevant. I think even at that point, like you can, but you don't have to.
Yeah. So like the closest thing I read, the line that I remember, or that even the three words that I remember sort of switched me into that second gear that I like to go into, was when I wrote mysterious lunar mechanism. And I was like, oh, I can riff on that. And that sort of took me somewhere that felt, like sort of more mysterious to me, and I like going into that magical place. I can imagine coming back to this and tightening up the first bit, seeing if there's some way I can weave. Because originally, that is not why they called it the Year of Confusion thing didn't even make sense until I had gotten to the end and realized what the rhythm of it was going to be. And so I had to go back and seed that through it to kind of create chapters, create verses. And those also informed how the music proceeded, because whenever I say that, a new instrument comes in, and that took care of that for me. That was great. I didn't need to think about that.
Yeah, that was great.
And the only other thing that I'm happy with is to mimic the years being out of sync. You have those boom, and then you have the na 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 bit, and the na 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 bit is like a quarter second longer of a loop. So if you leave that, if you listen to that as it goes throughout the track, it's slightly going out of sync with the original loop. And then at the very end, I really liked taking that original loop and then increasing the space between it for every time. So it's like gradually slowing right down. I like that a lot. Yeah. Good work, cool. Both of us today.
Yeah, no, I liked both of these a lot.
I'm excited to listen to your one again.
Yeah, if this is the first one you're tuning into, go through our backlog. We got 6 episodes. That's binge worthy. That's an afternoon. That's a long car trip at this point. So yeah. Go back through them. They're all as good as this one, or better, or worse.
Yeah. Tell us what you think. You can email us at hello@jammechanics.com. You can email bug@jammechanics.com. You can email me at tnc@jammechanics.com. And if you want to download these songs, you can do that for free at jammechanics.com or jammechanics.bandcamp.com. There's so many options that you have. So many options.
I'm gonna call a shot right here. It doesn't exist yet, but I'm gonna say join the Jam Mechanics Discord.
Oh yeah, yeah. Happy New Year.
By January 1st, we're gonna have a Jam Mechanics Discord. I've already set it up. We just didn't know if people were gonna want it, but yeah. I'm just gonna assume that people are gonna want it. So I'm gonna say it now. Join the Jam Mechanics Discord. Just reach out to us on any social media or email, and we'll give you the link. Cool. I think that's gonna be it for us. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bug, this podcast series has been littered with my terrible improvisations. You want to grab your ukulele behind you and do a little improvised goodbye song?
I don't.
The people want it.
Yeah, sure. Goodbye. This was a podcast. We wrote some songs real fast. We had a lot of fun, but now the podcast is done.
Aw, yeah, banging.
I sit by the phone, but I haven't heard. Both sides, stomach size and diameter. And you know the money's for managers.
I know money's for managers.
I sit by the phone, but I haven't heard. 2 spots and 10,000 challengers. I know the money's for managers. But goddammit, art is for amateurs.